Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to the Omega Blog Talk Radio Show, where I am your host, your servant this evening, Jason Felix. I'm so glad that you are here with me on tonight, for tonight is another day that the Lord has made, so we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome, everybody. I hail here from Detroit, Michigan, where it's 50 degrees one day, then 100 the next. So how was your day today? Did God give you and grant you all the desires of your heart today? If so, I just need you to say hallelujah, thank you, Lord. So tonight, my people, I don't want to hold you up. We will explore the life of one of the Lord's servants, one of our great, great mentors of mine, and his name is Commander Arthur Berry. He will be our special guest host on this evening when I come back from commercial break. But I just wanted to, before we get started, you know, as any other thing we must do, we must give God all the honor, glory, and praise. So with that said, let us pray. I just want to thank you, Father, right now for your amazing power and work in our lives. I want to thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Father, I want to thank you that you are able to bring hope through even the toughest of times, strengthening us for your purposes. I want to thank you for your great love and care. I want to thank you for your mercy and your grace. I want to thank you that you are always with us and will never leave us. I want to thank you for your incredible sacrifice that we might have freedom and life. So forgive us for when we don't thank you enough for who you are and for all you do, for all that you have given. And help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh, Father, and renew our spirits. Fill us with your peace and your joy. For we love and we need you this day and every day as we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And it's in your matchless mighty name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you, everybody, as we dive on in today. I hope you had a wonderful day. There's a lot of things going on in the world today, but right now, we're going to talk about what's most important, and that's the Word of God. So tonight, I just wanted to introduce everybody to a great man, and he's what I call the very example of John 3:16. So what I mean by this is, let me break it down what I mean. Perhaps the most famous Bible verse, but also perhaps one of the least understood. You see, what is the love that John 3:16 talks about? What is God's love for us, and how can we love him in return? Now, tonight we want to learn about that vital key to the true doctrine of being born again. And what does the Bible really teach us about this amazing and wonderful promise? And how does this verse relate to the true gospel and to God's eternal promise for us? So just think about that. I want to get you there. I have what we call these let me get you there moments. So with that being said, let me set the scene. Sometimes, I'm just talking about the verse. You see, sometimes it goes along a highway. Just imagine that. Or sometimes we see it planted on a rock surface along the road. Now, certainly, if you have seen a baseball game, there it is in the stands right behind home plate. And if you have watched an American football game, there it is in the background when a field goal is attempted. Now, what am I referring to, my people? The verse that is perhaps the most widely displayed verse from the entire Bible, John 3:16. For it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, before we go any further, I want you to recognize that there are two things that we need to note here. One is that we must be born again. You see, the other is that the Son of Man must be lifted up. You see, they're related. You see, it takes the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. You see, he must be lifted up. And since he has been lifted up, since he bore our penalty, the Spirit of God can regenerate us. And we must be born again. That is the only way God can receive us. Now, the motivation for all of this is that God so loved the world. You see, God never saved the world by love, my people, which is the mistaken thinking of today. It doesn't say that God's love saved the world, because the love of God can never save a sinner. God does not save by love, my people. God saves by grace. Because what is in Ephesians, I believe, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, now, how does God save? I just gave you the answer. He saves by grace. Hallelujah. But God so loved the world. Let's talk about that. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever, you, right here is where you write your name in and where I write my name in. It's whosoever, that's you and me, that believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now notice that with the word believe is the little preposition in which means to believe in Christ. That is, we trust him as the one who bore the penalty for our sins. This is a personal thing. You see, we must each believe that he died in our place and in our stead. Oh, my people, we must believe, and you must believe that he died for you. But let me break down that John 3:16 for you. I'm going to bless you right quick. Because actually, John 3:16 means exactly what it reads. I just read the scripture, but let's break down the name and the numbers. The name John spiritually means grace. The number 3 represents the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and those 2 dots represent the world. And the number 16 spiritually means love. So you know when you fill out the paperwork, legal paperwork, that is, you always sign your last name first and your first name last. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. With that being said, for God, who we're talking about, so love, the number 16, the world, those 2 dots that he gave. Being gracious right there, his son, the number 3, meaning God is love. And tonight I want to talk about a gentleman, a servant of the Lord that is exactly that. Because as Christians, we have what you have some people that say, oh, I'm a Christian. I don't have a religion. Christianity is not a religion. It is a person, Jesus the Christ. But in that religion, you represent these 2 things that you must do. And that is to help the orphan and to help the widow. That is your commission as you spread the gospel, my people. And what I want you to recognize tonight is we got a great man of God with us on tonight. But before I let him in, I just wanted to give an opportunity tell you just a little bit about this man. I met this man, it's been back 2 years ago, as we were both joining the IPFCA. But when I learned of all the things that he does for the community and for the people, it just blew my mind. I really didn't know how to think after that. All the things that he does, all the people that he touches, and all the people that he takes care of. So I just had to have an opportunity just to spread the love and just to show him, like, hey, I'm here for you, man. You are awesome. You are awesome. And with that being said, without any further ado, I just want to tell you all a little bit about my big brother. Now, this man, he is like no other. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. But I'm going to give it to you like this, my people. Dr. Arthur Berry Sr., my people, is the senior pastor of Hope for the Community Mission, located in Detroit, Michigan. He's a graduate of Destiny School of Ministry and was ordained as a minister of the gospel. He also received his ministerial license from Lake Region Conference and was ordained by the City Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church. Pastor Berry Sr. is the commander chaplain with the 2nd Precinct of the Detroit Police Department, where he is the spiritual leader over 7 chaplains and addresses the spiritual needs of the precinct. He also works with the aftercare program, where he goes out to the homes of victims of crimes and provides them with spiritual care and resources to help them as needed. Pastor Berry Sr. is also the assistant chief of the International Police and Fire Chaplain Association, where he sits on the executive board. Pastor Berry Sr. is a passionate. He's so passionate about the work that he does for the Lord. He is a servant, and he has been commissioned by God to bring hope to all those communities in need. I just want to thank him on tonight for being with us. And if you could, my people, give him a nice round of applause as I bring him in. Commander Berry, welcome, welcome this evening. Your line is open. How are you today?
Yes, good evening, Jason. How are you? I'm doing fine, my brother. God is good.
Yes, glad to have you on tonight. I was just discussing about John 3:16, about how God is love. And just as we even go a little further, just talk about how the love of God came in your life to just be a servant and to help others as we go about telling a story.
Well, I mean, I can bring that in many ways, but I'll think about how I got hurt back in the day, and I was bitter in life and no longer wanted to live. And I just decided I was just going to be someone who just loafed around and didn't do much. But I found out that there was more to life than just loafing around and just being existing. And so I was introduced to the Word of God. My grandmother came in the town, and she told us about the Word, and I learned about the Word, and I learned from different people about the Word of God. And I just, you know, started wanting to be a service of service. Once I got hurt and I got better, I knew that it wasn't of my own that I got better. So I know that someone loves me enough to heal my body, to allow me to still exist here on this earth. And I know it's just the love of God. And that's why this scripture means so much to me, because I know it was the love of God that saved me. A wretch like me, somebody that was doing wrong in the world, and God still saved me. and I'm still here, so praise God. So I started working in the vineyard. I started working, doing things and knocking on doors and being a call porter, going door-to-door, selling magazines, being on the street, talking to people about the love of Christ, telling my story over and over again. It had got boring to me. I told it so much. But I stopped telling the story. But God told me to keep on telling it because somebody needed to hear the story. So I kept telling the story. I kept knocking on doors. And then I just sat down in the church and said, I need to be taught of the Lord. And so I went in the church and I became an usher, a deacon, and then an elder, and then I went to school to be a minister.
Amen for that. Now, when was the first time that you took upon outreach on your own recognizance?
I didn't hear that last part. What was the last part?
When was the first time you took upon outreach where you just felt the need to be an assistance to those in need?
Well, you can look at the hurt and the hunger in the world. And so I had an opportunity to meet one of the guys that worked for Forgotten Harvest. And so I put together a program with Forgotten Harvest after doing a job fair at my church. The job fair went pretty well. You know, people were getting referrals and getting jobs and getting leads to jobs. And so I partnered with Daryl Anderson, who was got his position at the Forgotten Harvest. He's since left. But he said, come on, Elder Barry, I would I'll help you. If you want to distribute some food, come on. And this was back in 16 and 17. We were doing this in 15. We were doing this, giving out food and allowing people to be blessed by the food. So I had took it upon myself that I wanted to feed people. So I had, at that time, I had a white cargo van. So I would take my van and go around and collect food. I mean, this is a big old raggedy van, needed some work on it, but I drove it best I could, and I got to get the food, and I would take it to the church, and then we would set up a day to where we could distribute the food. We were getting leftover donuts from donut shops. We were getting stuff from the stores. We were getting food from Gleaners, Forgotten Harvest. We were getting stuff from people that, you know, were able to go out and get it and meet us and to give us the food. People had other food banks that were giving food. And so I felt that the individuals in the community that I was in, where the church was at, needed some help. And so we set up the food bank, and it was blessed, and people came out and got the food. At first it was kind of slow because people, I guess, didn't really know that the church is supposed to be doing those kind of things. But once the church got the message about it was free food, all they had to do was come and get it. So the food program went pretty well. And I was driving from Detroit to Sterling Heights, 19-mile Van Dyke to get donuts, Panera Bread, bringing it back to the church and bagging it up and giving it away at the soup kitchen. And so, and canned goods and all the stuff we were getting from grocery stores. And so I felt the need that the people needed some things, and a lot of times people won't tell you what they need. They'll just be in need. And if you don't help them, a lot of times they'll just go somewhere else and get it the best they can.
True. That is awesome. That is awesome. And when I first heard your story and I thought about my outreach program, I was like, man, I ain't doing nothing. He's over beyond the case. I need to learn the game from him. So I just appreciate that. So when you became a chaplain inside the Detroit Police Department, how did it come about with that? How did that become a career objective for you?
Well, my sister introduced me to the church. Was actually a hospital, the hospital on Highland Park. I mean, I forgot the name of the hospital. It was over there off of the lodge and the boulevard. And it was a hospital over there, and I took a class over there.
Hustle on Henry Ford? Okay.
No, it's right on the service drive right there at Virginia Park Hospital. No, Virginia Park.
Yeah, that's Hustle.
It was a small hospital. Yeah,
okay.
So anyway, the hospital was over there. They got a class over there with Dr. Carl. So I met Dr. Carl, and he talked about this thing called chaplaincy ministry. And I was just, it was interesting. I mean, I sat down on the edge of my chair, and my eyes were big. I was just eating it all up, sponging it all up. And he said, you know, the best ministry that you can have is a ministry outside the four walls of the church. And so it just kept ringing in my head about ministry outside the four walls of the church. And so I went back to my church asking them about ministry outside the four walls of the church. The pastor wasn't doing that. None of the elders were doing that. So I just took it upon myself to learn more. And once I learned more, I put it into practice. And before you know it, I had seven nursing homes. I had prison ministry in Milam Prison. I had aftercare program. We were doing the hospital ministry. I was at Boxer Hospital, Henry Ford Hospital. It was just amazing how God opened the doors. And it's interesting that when you make one step, God will make two. If you ask God to open doors, if you ask God to lead you where he would have you to be in ministry or whatever God sees for your life or whatever direction you're trying to go in, if you ask God and God truly desires you to have that position, he will open doors for you. And so when I first became in ministry, I told the Lord, I'm learning a little bit, but I want to learn more. So I said, if you let me go to school, I'll go to school and I'll learn more and I'll do more. So that's when I signed up at Destiny School of Ministry. I went to school to learn ministry and chaplaincy ministry, and it just blossomed behind that. And so I was out in the world doing the ministry at women's shelters, at boys' shelters. It was just amazing. God opened those doors. And so even now, right before COVID, I had about seven ministries that I was doing every week. I was doing that. So every month I had a whole lot to do. And it was just a blessing, and I still count it a blessing now because I know that I pray that at some time we'll get back out there and we'll be able to do those ministries again because there's a lot of need out there. And right now the need is to deal with people just dealing with domestic violence.
Amen, amen. Yes, domestic violence is a tough situation because here in Michigan, if there's a situation between a couple, the moment the police are called out, one of those individuals are going to jail for at least 48 hours with a $500 fine just to get out. And it's no joke here. And then with mental health being such a great thing because of PTSD and all the other things. And with that being said, I don't know if you feel open to it or not, but would you like to elaborate on your story of domestic violence? Because what it is a lot of people don't really recognize that domestic violence is not all about the male being the dominant over the female. You have some instances where it's vice versa, where the woman is the aggressor. And in a situation like this, Commander Barry had that experience up hand, uplifted, and up close. He's expressed it to us in our courses and in our Zoom calls that we have, and it's an amazing story. That's why I believe that he's an amazing man. So, if you will, before we go to break, would you like to elaborate on that?
Sure, I can give the short version of that. I know domestic violence is something that need to be talked about because a lot of people don't want to talk about that. When you think about domestic violence, you actually look at the male being aggressive toward the female, but it's also the female being aggressive toward the male. And so I was in one of those situations where the female was aggressive toward me. And being in a relationship with a woman that you love and care about and you want to spend some time with all the time, I was, you know, pushing myself to spend some time with her. And at that time, I wasn't working, wasn't doing the things that she thought I needed to be doing at that time, at that age of my life. And so she decided to break up with me. So we broke up. And I went about my way reluctantly, and she went about her way. And after about 6 months, she had a change of heart, and she wanted to come back. So I kind of kept her at bay. But about a year later, I had a child out of wedlock. I had a child by a woman, and I didn't tell her about it. And so she called me one day and wanted to get back together. And I did see her, and she wanted to start a relationship again. At that time, the lady that I had the child by, we had broke up. And so I started up a relationship with her. But one thing I did not tell her was that I had had a baby by another woman. And one day my car broke down in front of her house. I had to fix it. I had to take the whole radiator out, put a water pump on right in front of her house. And she, being the kind of woman she was just sitting in the car and she started rambling. And she actually opened the glove box and the baby picture fell out. And she acted kind of strange. She was dismayed, and she really blurted out a few things I won't say over the air, and she asked me about the child. I told her it was mine, and at that point, the relationship ended right there, and I put my car back together, and she wouldn't let me in the house, and I went on about my business. But some weeks later, I tried to communicate with her, and she didn't want to communicate with me, so I kind of scratched it. I stayed away for another few months, and I called her up, and she agreed to see me. I came, went over to her house. I knocked on the door. She answered the door. We had a conversation, and I asked her, can we have start from scratch all over again? Can we start it up all over again, and we can start from again, and I'll be truthful, you'll be truthful. And she didn't want to agree with that. So I told her, you know, I understand. If you don't want to be with me, then I don't want to be with you either. So I said a few choice words, and I turned and walked away. And when I turned and walked away from her, that's the last thing I remember. And as I walked away and walked down the stairs, she opened the door and she shot me in the back of the head. So that was a turning point in my life. And a whole nother story behind that. I was out, and I don't remember anything until 7 days later. And I only remember what I'm told, because all I remember was being at the door and waking up in the hospital 7 days later.
Amen, amen, amen.
Domestic violence is not a joke. It's something that people need to take serious, and we need to look at relationships and how we treat one another in relationships. And I would tell anybody to be honest, to be upfront. If you don't want to be with a brother or don't want to be with a sister, just tell them the truth. I mean, if you just want to just be friends, just be friends. But I think truth should be one of the glues that's inside of a relationship.
Yeah, you just reminded me of my dad's show, the Honorable Jesse Store. It comes on Monday nights at 8 o'clock, and they discuss oneness and marriage. And, you know, clinging to your mate, being there, being open, being transitioned, and just here, just listening to your story, I understand. And I know that it had to be the blood. God had a purpose in your life before you was in the womb. And at that moment of your turn, he knew this was the time to make sure he was there to lift you up. And I'm thanking you for being here today, that you were able to tell your story. So what we're going to do right here, my people, is I want you to go get you a snack, and we'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to have Commander Arthur Berry just go loose and talk about John 3:16 and give us that good sermon that he always wanted to give, and talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. You got any questions when I come back, I want you to press the number 1 so you can holler at Commander Berry and talk to him. Any questions when I come back from this commercial break? Let's go, my people.
I'm so glad I know it was the blood. I'm so glad that I know it was the blood. I know. It was the blood. Oh. You remember Patty?
Whoa.
He died. You remember Patty?
Yes,
he died.
Save me.
was a blood.
Yes, it was.
I know it was a blood.
I know
it was a blood that shined me.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Anybody saved out here tonight?
And yes, it is.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. Welcome back, everyone, to Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show, where I am your host, servant Jason Felix. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I know it was the blood that Commander Barry had flowing through him and spiriting him to be where he is today with everything that he's been through. And I'm just thanking God at this moment. Yes, before we go on, before we move into it, I just want to give God some crazy praise right now for everything that he has done, is doing, and is about to do in your life. So with that being said, Commander Barry, the floor is yours. Talk to us for a minute. Still on mute, Barry? All right, well, we'll break that on in about a minute. I'm just thanking everybody on tonight, waiting on Commander Barry to get on the line. And this is a good night. I'm just glad that we are all in here together. The lines are open if you would like to come in and talk. I do have one of my most favorite people in the building today. And I want to just say thank you, Lord. How you doing there? I got a hand up, and now let me open up the floor to 9268. Your line is now open.
Praise the Lord, my brother.
Praise the Lord, Alan. Pastor.
Amen.
I just wanted to say that I'm proud of you and what you're doing in the ministry. And just listening to Commander Barry tell his story. I think he's on now, but I was just listening in the last segment, and there is a tremendous truth to that. But by any means, how we find God and how we are connected to God is very tremendous. And I admire you, Commander Barry, for telling your story, and we are overcome by our testimony, and it was through a test that you were able to tell your testimony to inspire other people. And I'm just grateful just to hear that story, just to listen to that. But most importantly, I'm proud of you, both of you black men, for standing up for the truth. And yeah, so I'm inspired. So congratulations to you both.
Yes,
amen,
thank you.
Amen. Go ahead, Commander Barry.
Yes, I was thinking about what you were asked about, what drove me to do the chaplaincy ministry. Going back to that, I found myself after getting the Lord blessing me to get out of the hospital, I found myself in a situation to where I had a change of heart. You know, I was kind of a roughneck, kind of a mean guy. But once I got hurt, I had a change of heart. So I became a little softer than what I was. So once I found out that, you know, everything was good, I was going to be okay. So I changed my thinking about that. So I had a forgiving heart. So I went to forgive the lady. So actually, I went to visit my brother. He was incarcerated at the time, and I told him what I was getting ready to do. I had bought a revolver, and I was getting ready to go and do some damage to this young lady. I was going over her house and just do what I needed to do to make it right. But I went to visit my brother, and I told my plan to him, and he said, "You can't do that. He said, that's not of God." And so he went and got his Bible, and he showed me in the Word where God said, "I must forgive her." And I was like, "Man, I got to forgive her for what she did for me." And he said, "Yeah, you got to forgive her, because that's the will of God, and that's the Word of God." And so I walked away sorrowful, like the young man with all the money, the rich young ruler. I walked away sorrowful, but I really felt in my heart that God wanted me to forgive her, and I did. I went and forgave her, but by that time, the courts had got involved, and there were some things we had to work out through the courts, and so I told the judge that. I didn't remember what happened, and I said it twice, and the judge held me in contempt. I remember it like yesterday, and the judge actually locked me up for lying in the courtroom, and I went to jail. And so I was incarcerated in Wayne County Jail. That Friday night, I went to jail. That Saturday morning, they passed out literature in the jail, and I took a pamphlet, and I read the pamphlet, and it talked about the love of Jesus Christ. And after I read the pamphlet, there was a prayer at the end of the pamphlet, and it said, "If you believe what you read, pray this prayer." And I prayed the prayer, and the Holy Ghost came into my life and took over. And it was just amazing inside that cell what the Spirit did to me. And I came out a changed man. You know, I got out the following Monday. I got out. But the way I got out, it was amazing, because the turnkey, the person who was in the jail or on our floor watching us, he said, "Hey, everything's good back here." So he was walking the floor. He said, "You good back there, number 8, number 7, y'all good?" Everybody was good. And so that was Friday. So Saturday came around. Then Sunday came around. So Sunday, I was like, "Man, I got to go to court and face this judge again and lock me up." So Monday came around. Monday morning, that same turnkey came and said, he called my name. He says, "Arthur Barry." I said, "Yeah, man." He said, "Get your stuff. You're going home." I said, "What?" He said, "Man, I don't know what kind of favor you got. I don't know what you did or who you know." He said, "But the judge didn't even come in today. But he called the courtroom and told us to let you out." I would say that's just God. And so after I found the Lord inside that cell, God changed my life. And so I became a servant. But it took me a while to get to that point. But after a few years, I started working for the Lord. And that's how, when I came into that Highland Park, that hospital called on the boulevard and then Lodge. When I went to that hospital, went to that class, I learned about chaplaincy ministry, and it grew from there. And it took me from 06 to about 11 to actually allow the Lord to use me to gather all those ministries, to allow those ministries to work for me and for other people. And I went to school, and I had to learn what God wanted me to do and not just do it on my own. I had to do it for the Lord. And so that's when I went to school to get a degree in ministry, and the rest is history. Some of the bio is on that, about going to school, having three different ordinations and being able to know what God wants me to do, and that's to be a servant. So I no longer all the titles don't mean anything if you're not doing nothing with them. If you are not out
Amen.
There working in the vineyard, out there serving people, the need is great out there for real pastors, real ministers, real elders, real people to go out there and do the work. And I learned back a long time ago, you do not need a degree to help somebody. All you need to do is have a willing heart.
Say it again.
You do not need a degree, brother, to help somebody. You just got to have a willing heart to go out there and gather some resources. And that's what I did for my church and myself. I became a resource person for the church and for the community. And that's what got me to be able to be where I am today, being a man with great resources.
Amen, amen. Glad you're here. We got a caller that just came on in. Caller 8826, your line is now open. Come on in.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good evening, Omega Ministries. This is Elder Candy. I am just on fire behind what I have heard tonight and what God has done, and how God will use something in which the enemy meant for evil and turn it around for our good. That's what his word promises, and that's what he has done in your life. It is these testimonies that influence others to Jesus. It is these testimonies, real life of real power occurring when you have that true encounter with God, in which you actually have to definitely depend on God. So I thank you for sharing your testimony, but I want to go back a little bit about the domestic violence, because I see a lot of domestic violence where it is the female who is the aggressor, and there's a lot of mental illness there. There's a lot of counseling. There's a lot of disconnect on where respect is supposed to be, and even where our positions are as women. So much of this is glamorized on television and through social media to stand up in a man's face and say what you would say if you were a man, which is not acceptable, and a man is not going to accept it. However, with that being said, that also is a ministry that a lot of women ministers and elders and men alike can contribute toward, and hopefully helping our society not look at mental illness as a taboo or something to be ashamed of, rather than looking at it as another tool in order to help you become all that God wants you to be. I had an injury to my brain. I had a hematoma on my brain, and I couldn't write. I couldn't read. The doctor said I would never write, read, or do math again. I would never count my own money, and that someone else would always have to do that for me. The devil is a liar and a deceiver.
Amen.
Too. Because I can read, I can write, I can gain, and I know it was nothing but the blood of Jesus through the cognitive rehabilitation that I had to go through, that I didn't want to go through because of the word rehabilitation. You know, it's some trigger words in our society that will push us away from the help that we need. So I thank you so much for sharing. I pray God's favor continually over your life, and that those that are around you and hear about what God has done, that their lives also be changed for the love of Jesus. Thank you. And thank you, Elder Jason, for allowing me to speak.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Candy. So, yeah, Commander Barry, with that being said, is there anything you'd like to share with us that you'd like to bring us up to speed on what's going on in your world today?
My world is different now. The matriarch is gone. My mother passed away on Monday. My mother was the matriarch. She's the one that helped me to obtain a good standing in ministry and kept me on my toes. She pushed me to be right in ministry. She kept guiding me, and so she's been, ooh, my rock, you know, in weary land as I grew in ministry. The training, you can have all the training you want, but you need strong people around you to correct you when you're wrong, to mentor you, to sharpen you, and for you to feed off of. And I'm so glad also that my mother did that for me. And so I can hold her in high esteem and say, thank you, Mom. Even though she passed away, I can say thanks to my mom, who just passed at 91 years old. She was a blessing. And so I'm thankful, and I'm going to continue to do what she taught me to do. And one thing that she taught me to do that was inside that story that I didn't do was to put my hands on a woman. So my mother frowned on that. She said, I don't care what you do, son, do not hit a woman. And she said, I know that there's a lot of men out here, they fight, they do all kind of things to men. She said, a real man will not hit a woman. She said, walk away. She said, walk away. And that's what I did. That's what I caught myself doing, but I walked away. But I'm thankful that there are strong women out there. We need more mothers out there. We need more mentors out there. As a police chaplain, we're out there mentoring on the street, dealing with domestic violence, dealing with mental illness, dealing with just crime as a whole. And we need to be strong black men and black women to stand up and to help our young people that's coming up behind us to have a future and to have a positive future and to guide them. And don't be ashamed to tell them when they're right or when they're wrong, and love on them. And one day I had a chance to be at a school up here on Wyoming. I forgot the name of the school, right here on Wyoming in Fullerton. And we were up there, the police department, we did a program there once a month. And we went in that school, and I think it was a middle school. We went in there and we did a program. We had an open forum. We're talking to some young men. And this is the time that the rapper got shot back there on Livernois off of 96. And so this was a whole lot of stuff going on in that era. So, yeah, so the actually, inside of that class that we was having was the cousin of that rapper that got shot, and he was bitter. And so as we were talking, that came up, and so it came up for free for all for the class, and we just asked him, is there anything they'd like to talk about? And this young guy, he had about 11 or 12, and he brought up his cousin rapper, and he told us he hates the police, and he hates everybody because his cousin got killed, and the police is responsible for that. And so we it's rough, man, being in uniform, being out there trying to do the will of God and to be a peacekeeper at the same time. So we had to really sit this young man down and talk to him about what really happened. It just so happened that the officers that I was with knew about the case, and they were able to tell the young man what actually happened to his cousin. And he had some peace with that, but he still was bitter. And there was other interruptions in the class about people just not liking the uniform and liking police. I said, but when you get into trouble, who are you going to call? You going to call your friends over to take care of issues? I said, that's what's wrong with the world now. You need to call somebody that has authority, somebody that's really going to try to help you to resolve a situation and not escalate it to take it to a deeper situation. But the real issue for us is to be mentors and to be helpers in the time of trouble. This world is in a time of trouble, and we need to really get out there and be on the battlefield for the Lord. Talk about Jesus openly. Don't hide behind the door. Don't hide behind your prayer. Just talk about Jesus. Know that he is Lord. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you love God, God says, if you love him, then you will respect and you will talk about him. So God says, go ye therefore into all the world. So we need to go into all the homes, all into all of the schools, into wherever there's a need for the gospel to be preached and taught and talked about. We need to let those venues be open and let them happen, because we need to have conversations about reality, about what's really happening in the world today. Our world is changing before our eyes as we speak. And if we don't get the gospel out there, a lot of people's lives will be different, and a lot of people will leave this earth without knowing Christ. And that's not what God wants. I feel God wants, he said, the gospel shall be preached into all the world. And so we have to really get on the ball about preaching the gospel and about telling people about the love of Jesus Christ. I tell my story. Sometimes I don't want to tell my story. There's many stories I can tell about doing ministries and what I experienced as a minister as a pastor, as a leader, as a chaplain. There are many stories I can tell, but the main story I want to tell is what Jesus did for me. He saved my life. I know if it, the devil meant it for bad, but I know God meant it for good because I'm still here. And so I can tell people about not something that I heard, this is something that I experienced. And so right now, the blood is flowing warm in my body because of God's grace and his mercy. Praise the Lord. Amen. I could talk
amen,
all day, but I
remember
might have something to say. Amen.
Yeah, we do got a caller out there that came on in, I believe. It was caller with the last digits 8159. You are now live on the Omega Blog Talk Radio Show. Talk to us.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Chaplain B. Daniels from Toledo, and I wanted you both to know proud I am of you. I am very proud of you guys. And Commander Barry, I wanted to offer my condolence in the passing of your mom. But one thing I want you to remember, that she has already laid the foundation for you to follow, and I think you're on the right track. So keep on doing what you're doing. Another thing I want to make a quick comment about is about domestic violence. Domestic violence does affect the male and the female. But what most of us tend to forget, that domestic violence affects our children. They don't have to be verbally hit. I mean, they don't have to be hit with their hands or a stick or whatever. They can be verbally abused with domestic violence. And that's one of the things we tend to forget about our children. So I want to tell you guys, thank you very much for allowing me to share that little tip on doing what you're doing. And I'm supporting you. The things that you poured into my cup tonight has overflowed into the saucer, and I am getting reaping what you said.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
You're doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Miss B. That was Miss B from Ohio. Yeah. Commander Barry, tell us, you were telling me before, tell me the story again about, see, you and your mom remind me of my father and my grandmother. You know, they tight knit when it comes to this word. Talk about when you used to go to places with your mom and things she would do when you would go spread the gospel.
Yes, I had the fortunate time to spend with my mother when I got really deep in ministry. I was preaching, you know, a lot. I was going to different churches. I was Inkster. I was going to Westland. I was going around. I had about 7 churches that I was preaching out of. So every week I was going different places. And so I would ask my mother if she wanted to go with me because she had a home church, which is City Temple. And so, but she said, yeah, I want to go. And so I would take her around. And so one particular incident, I had 7 stops on that particular day. It was just one Saturday. I had 7 stops, and I took my mother, and we went. I preached that morning. I did the nursing home. I did the hospital ministry. I had a program at Oasis Shelter. Then I had to stop by another shelter. And then, but by the time I left Oasis, my mother told me she was tired. She said she didn't want to go anymore with me. So but we still had to go because I still had an appointment to make, and I just told her that from now on that I wouldn't take her those many places. But I'm thankful that my mother was able to go with me, and so by my mother being a senior when we were going those places, that I would introduce my mother and let her talk for a while. And so sometimes I would introduce myself and do a scripture, and I would say, Mom, talk to the seniors and tell them some things that you know that you learned and that may help them. And she would just tell them straight out about taking care of themselves and not being bitter and not fussing and listen to the doctors think about what they want in their life and have a relationship with Jesus Christ and profess Jesus and listen to the ministers when they talk to you about about Jesus Christ and about the love and listen to their testimony. She said, my son come here because he loved what he does. She says, I'm here because he asked me to come with him. But I'm here to tell you that I'm one of you all. She said, I'm a senior citizen, and I could be where you are today. She said, but just thank God for life and just that we have life and have it more abundantly and just live life to the fullest because we never know when it's going to end. So just enjoy yourselves and be good one to another. So that's the kind of mother that I had that would go with me to do those ministries.
Amen. Amen, Commander Barry. You are a blessing. God has nothing but great things in store for you. It's just a beauty when we're able to let go and let God just lead us through the way. And that first thing that you did, the most powerful thing, which opened up the doors of the window, which made you the head and not the tail, which made you above and not beneath, and all the windows of opportunity are opening up, where you pouring out blessings so tough that you won't have room enough to receive them, is because of that thing called forgiveness. Once you let forgiveness in your heart, this just opens up. There's nothing that can stop it. Anything you put your mind and heart to, he will give you that desire because you seek him first and his righteousness. So all things shall be added unto you. I'd like to thank you on tonight, Commander Barry, for coming in and telling your story and breaking us on down. But I wanted to continue it by breaking down just a little bit something from John chapter 3 in those last five verses, which was 31 through 36. Because in the word, Commander, it says, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is on the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth, he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that have received his testimony have set to his seal that God is true. But he whom God hath sent speak of the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see here, my people, John makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus is superior. And he gives them this wonderful testimony concerning the Lord Jesus. It says, he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. You see, you have it right now, my people. You couldn't have it any clearer than that. You see, John the Baptist preached the gospel, as we all see. He told the message that men are lost without Christ, but they have everlasting life through faith in Christ. Ah, what a testimony this man had, and what a tremendous witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about you? You need to be that witness. You got a testimony. You know what turned you to the Lord. You know what brought you out. You know what brought you through. Share your story. Share this word and give it all to all that we got to go. So with that being said, I got to let the man, the myth, the legend on, my dad, Mr. Minister Jesse Storr. Good evening, Pops.
Good evening, beautiful show tonight. Thank you, and your special guest, powerful testimony. We praise God for that, and I guess the only thing I would like to add would be that 17th verse. You know, it says that he didn't send him into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved, and it's a beautiful thing to see your son grow up in the ministry the way you have, and have men of God around you, because that is indeed the whole key. And it's like Psalm said, you got to always seek that godly counsel. But if I may, let us end in prayer tonight. Father, we praise you. We thank you for this beautiful ministry gift that you have made available to us this evening. So many stories in this book of life. And we thank you tonight because we as men, especially black men, we are learning how to love. All of us, most of us have had situations in our lives where we may have had moments when we didn't even think we were loved. But God, through your grace and through your mercy, you allowed the passage of time to take place. And over all of the trials and the tribulations, you showed up in the midst of sorrow, and we were able to see and understand what our purpose in life is all about. So we thank you tonight that we were able to get through the anger, we were able to get through the malice, the wrath that may have been present in our bodies. And we thank you tonight that as we got through, you also put into our hearts a desire to minister to the needs of the people. And so, Father, we pray tonight that these men of God and also these women that have spoken, as they go out and put their mark on the world, let it be one that can never be erased. Let it be one that whenever they're in the presence of someone else, they will know that they have been in the presence of a man or woman of God. And, Father, we give you glory tonight. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, Commander Barry, any last words you'd like to share with the world tonight?
Yes, I just want to say in closing, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things we desire may be added on to you and to me. So if we seek God first, he'll do the rest. Just lay your heart on God's heart and commune with him, and he'll do the rest. Just trust him. Trust in the Lord, lean out to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and let him direct your path. So God bless you, God keep you, and may he make his face to shine upon you and bring you peace. Peace in your heart, peace in your home, and peace in whatever you do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And before we go, I want to let y'all know I got three words to tell y'all before I play this song. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Thank you on tonight, everybody, as you leave this place. If you'd like to join me at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight, we do what we call intercessory prayer. And that phone number, if you have the opportunity, is 515-606-5317. Once again, that's area code 515-606-5317. And the passcode is 511407. That passcode again is 511407. I'd like to thank you on tonight, each and every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll be exploring the mysteries of God here on the Omega Ministries Blog Talk Radio Show. God bless you. Good night.